thank you for your presence here. Thank you for the word of God that just says, where two or three are gathered, then he's in the midst, so he's here. And that's his promise. And we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you where you're welcome, you will always come. And together we invite you to come and minister to us. And even share some things that are happening and maybe about to happen. And we give you praise. We give you our very lives. As you've laid down your life, we are now living sacrifices in your hands to be used as you see fit. And what a noble occupation is to serve you and to love you, the one who's first loved us. Again, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the shed blood. Thank you that Jesus said it's finished. Thank you for his soon coming again. May we have our hearts ready for that. Thank you for each other. Thank you for the family of God. So would you minister to us tonight, even cast a vision of what some things we're starting to see around the world. And we invite that to happen here in England. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The beginning of the year, or actually the end of last year, the pastoral team asked some of us to start asking the Spirit, what do you see when you look to 2018? And so I was one of those who was asked, and for a long time, all I heard was one word, and the word was explosion. Explosion. That's interesting. I wonder what that means. And I asked for a clarification over the next few days and didn't hear anything for a while. And in the morning of December 31st, he said there's going to be a dramatic increase in Holy Spirit activity around the world. The suddenly I've been hearing for years and expected by many is actually to begin this year, 2018. There'll be dramatic spiritual growth in individual believers as well as numbers of people coming to Jesus. People begin to see their deep need for Jesus. And one of the problems we have in our neighborhood is people don't yet see their need. But when he shows us our need, I believe they're going to run to the light, which is truth of what God is doing. There's going to be a large increase in what we were just singing about. Signs and wonders and miracles will draw people to Jesus in greater and greater numbers. Manifestations of his glory appearing in churches, even in personal times with the Lord. Several will be overwhelmed by his manifested presence. Like, I love his presence, but I believe it's coming in such a deep, rich way that we'll just be overwhelmed with the gloriousness of his presence. This is, I believe, the beginnings of his glory covering the earth. I have a greater sense of God in charge, not man. Thank goodness. Great turmoil on the earth, but there's going to be a battle for supremacy, which you probably even know in your own neighborhood, between light and darkness. But in Christ, we know the light will win. There's going to be a far greater dependency for the church on the Holy Spirit. And I find that's a wonderful place to be, is a place of dependence. It keeps you nice and close to him. A wonderful peace in believers in spite of turmoil. There's going to be tremendous fruitfulness coming to believers, much more than we've seen before. I saw the church beginning to rise up in various places of the earth, seemingly spontaneous, the word I actually saw was some spontaneous combustion, where he just pops up around the world with great glory. maybe unexpected places. Holy Spirit fire is breaking out around the world, not through man's strategies, but by God himself. And we need to have our spiritual eyes open to look for these things through the eyes of faith. And I said, may it be so, Lord, for your glory and for the furtherance of your kingdom. So I sent this to the Sunday morning on the 31st to our pastor who was speaking. And she says, you have to share it because that's what I'm preaching on this morning. It's like I stole her notes. So I kind of gave his affirmation that there's something of this is real. So I'm going to couple some things that I've been seeing over the years, and I believe that there's something of a now time coming for the church. Even the revelation of the Father's love is, I see as we mature in this revelation over time, we begin to actually become the message. The messenger becomes the message. And he said to us first, but he says it's for the whole church. He says it's time to not only have a message, but actually move to the place where your whole life expresses the message. So people will look at us and see something of Jesus. And of course, he recognized that stakes have gone up because it's much more difficult and costly to fully represent the Father. For it doesn't matter what we say that matters as much as who we are. Then he says it's time to take the revelation of the Father's love to the marketplace, which is out there. Being a carrier of the Father's love, you'll bring change wherever you go, for you'll actually carry my presence. And this is for all of us, to carry the manifest presence of God. So when we go somewhere, we should actually change the atmosphere of that place. And then he was, when he was giving me this, he gave me 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. Paul speaking, he says, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you're a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And then I started to think, well, if every one of us today is a letter, what is our letter saying to those who see us and know us? It's a bit challenging, isn't it? So everyone who knows we're believers today are reading us, but what is our letter saying? And if there's an inconsistency between what we say and who we are, then of course they disregard our message. I was reading a book by Smith Wigglesworth. It was on faith. He stated, every believer should be a living epistle of the word, one who is read and known by all men. Your very presence should bring such a witness of the Spirit that everyone with whom you come into contact with would know that you are a sent one, a light in the world, a manifestation of the Christ. Is that a tall order or what? You see, he wants to take us a whole lot further than where we've ever been, I think. Because the whole plan is for people to look at us and our lives point to Jesus. It's not for our glory, of course, it's for his glory. Later on, we were in Western Canada, and I think I mentioned this tonight about the, we missed a revival in Western, did I mention it here already? Yeah. So, he gave me 2 Corinthians 12:9 in the Amplified when I was going through a great time of weakness. And this is the Amplified. It says, my grace, favor, loving kindness, and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger, enables you to bear trouble manfully. And Jesus speaking, listen to this. For my strength and power made perfect, fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. So why in the world are we trying to be strong? We're actually working against God. And Paul went on to say, therefore, I will all the more gladly glory my weaknesses and infirmities that the strength and power of Christ the Messiah may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. Oh, how would you like the presence of God resting on you continually? Watch out, Tamsin. Watch out. It's coming near. How would you like the presence of God to rest on you continually? Not just on a hot Sunday morning when you have some goosebumps, but he rests on us. How would that change the world? Bless your friend. She'll try and forgive me later. And that led me, because when I was in process, I was kicking and screaming against what God was doing. I didn't like what he was doing. Until he showed me that verse, and I said, whoa. Then I started to think about John 14:12. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And something rose up inside me. It says, the greater works are coming. The greater works are coming. We've been wondering, where in the world are we? We haven't even seen what he's done. But greater than Jesus' works, he said, are coming. But if we can embrace weakness, and that doesn't mean we say, well, we circle the wagons because I can't do anything, we'll wait for the rapture. No, it means we place our faith in his ability and not ours. So we move from what we can do to what he can do, and he can do anything. The next piece, in Mozambique, there was a major leaders conference in Dondo. I've actually been to that city, in central Mozambique. Over 2,000 pastors were present, and Mark DuPont was the speaker. And all of a sudden, the glory of God fell on the meeting. Heidi and Roland and plus 2,000 pastors were there. They all hit the dust, her faces in the dust. The cloud of glory rolled in. Mark is blinded because of the weight of his glory was so heavy. Heidi starts screaming because she thought she was going to die. Would that get your attention? Some people were hanging on to trees with their feet out sideways. That's the presence, right? I think that would scare you a bit, didn't it? Heidi had spoken to a deaf, blind girl who was demonized, and in an instant she was totally set free. And then God said to Heidi and Mark DuPont simultaneously, the revival which began in Toronto, it's God's intention to be a worldwide revival in time. They were so impressed with what happened, and that would impress you, witnessing that, wouldn't it? That they got on the next airplane they could to Toronto to travel and visit John and Carol Arnott. While Heidi was in John's house, she has an open vision. She saw chariots of fire, and on each chair were two saints of God. That's sons and daughters. They were transparent, no evil. Hearts were pure. And these chariots surrounded the globe. Each had a sword in the left hand. The swords were made of white gold with fire coming out of them. Heidi saw Jesus in heaven holding reins for two white horses for each chariot. The horses were spotless and strong. The reins went straight to heaven. Here's some good news. The saints of God were not in control. Hallelujah. But these saints had huge hearts, shoulder to shoulder, beating full of love. This is going to be a love revival. Then Jesus stood up and he said with a loud voice, now! And the chariots began to run across the earth. We were riding in the chariots. It was actually a place of rest. Then she saw the glory of the Lord covering the earth. But some places said no. And we think of our country, so we better be praying, because some places will say no. And the two-edged sword will either be mercy or judgment. Great darkness was covering the earth at the same time, a great light. Jesus asked this question of the sons and daughters. He says, who will go and carry my glory? Who will go and carry my glory? And again, she reiterated, the revival which began in Toronto, it's God's intention to cover the face of the earth. It's to be known as for intimacy, passion for Jesus, and compassion for the lost. Then the Lord gave her these verses, Psalm 105, verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always instead of his hands with our shopping lists. Seek him." Psalm 104, verse 1. "Praise the Lord, O my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with the garments. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariots and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants." He wants to make his flames of fire. Wow. He's looking for a people who will be transparent, pure, holy, and totally full of his presence. The key then, as we carry his glory, is to look for the one that God places in front of us. We're never to be in too much of a hurry to stop for the one. Then he gave me some other verses which tell us something of the glory of God that's coming. Romans 8:18 in the Amplified. "For I consider the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and conferred on us." That's the people of God. That's us. "For even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be known." Waits for the revealing, the disclosure of their sonship. You know, all of creation's waiting for something, waiting for the church, which is us, to become sons and daughters of God. Isn't it interesting? This is the time God has chosen to reveal the heart of the Father to the church and to the world. Romans 8:23, "We know whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons." And creation's been waiting for 2,000 years for the church to come home. And Jesus is the way to come home. Colossians 1:26. "The ministry that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Many of us memorize that verse. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But we kind of stop there, because this is a hope of a glory still to come. Another glory and greater glory is coming. In a verse I don't know why I never thought before, but it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. "Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters of stone, came in glory," that's when Moses got the law, "so the Israelites could not look steadfastly at the face of Moses because of its fading glory. Fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns man is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory in comparison with the surpassing glory." There's a surpassing glory coming. "And if what was fading away came in glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts?" Remember Moses, he had to veil his face because of the glory, but this is nothing compared to the glory that's coming to the church. And that one faded, but the new glory, the greater or surpassing glory, is going to last. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness. There it is again, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So we're going to become more and more and more like Jesus. The messenger is the message, where we started. People pointing to Jesus. Then the amazing verse in Galatians 4:19, I believe, is the greater glory. My little children, for whom I'm again suffering the birth pangs until Christ is completely and permanently formed, molded within you. My little children, for whom I'm again suffering the birth pangs until Christ is completely, permanently formed, molded within you. What would happen if we, God's people, became just like Jesus? Wow. What a difference it could make to England, to Canada, all the nations that are really hungry for him. Wow. It's amazing. A few years ago, Janice and I were in Wales ministering. Actually, Ray was with us. Ray, who was with us yesterday, he was at this event. And we thought, wouldn't it be nice to visit Moriah Chapel, where the Welsh Revival happened. And so we got to go to it. A guy led us into the building. I'm not sure she was a believer. And I asked her, well, how many people actually go to this church now? She said, 12. Isn't that sad? Something that had that great an impact, there's 12 people going. So the Canadian had an idea of our small party, including Ray and his wife, to join hands and pray, invite the Spirit of God to come. And the next thing we knew, our faces were being crushed into the floor of the church because the weight of his presence was so strong. Janice, my wife, starts to scream, who's laying on top of me? And no one was laying on top of her. It was the Holy Spirit. It was the weight of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus saw in the Spirit the cloud of witnesses encouraging us, and they were trying to hand us a baton to carry it into our generation. Because the problem is no one's taking up the baton. They've been waiting for someone, some people, to take up the baton. So guess what we have tonight? We have a chance. We have a chance to take the baton and just be whatever God wants us to be in this generation, to take up our responsibility, whatever it may be, big or small, and carry whatever it is into our nation at this time. It's interesting, I was just in Germany, near Stuttgart, and these people are hungry for God. They were so hungry. And when I gave them this offer, I think 80% of the church came forward with passion. They said, we want this. Our nation desperately needs revival. Then last week, I was in with our friends, Roland and Nancy. And three churches got together to hold a meeting. And I think 150 people came forward to receive the baton. And I handed it to the pastor, and she just about exploded. You know, it was amazing. She really, really wanted it. So I have a baton with me tonight. Does anybody here think that this nation needs revival?
Yes.
I would say so. So I have a baton somewhere. Oh, it's on here. It's on the chair. You were sitting right beside it. It's got your anointing on. So when I was in Germany, I wasn't planning to do this at all. When I was in Holland, I wasn't planning to do this at all. But the Holy Spirit was planning to do it. And so I'm under orders from Him. So if you would like to receive this, I believe all the revivals that have happened on earth are connected. I think that none of them were meant to stop. Man stops them because we try and take over, or we get religious and try and control it, ruin it. But they're meant to go until Jesus comes back. So if you could put on a little music. If anybody would really like this, we're going to do it tonight. So come to the front if you would like this. If you haven't noticed, our collective nations are kind of in a semi-disaster mode. We need a major move of God. So what Jana saw in the Spirit was the cloud of witnesses, all the heroes of the faith that have gone before us. And they're saying, well, would you take the baton that we took into our country, in our nation, in our time? This is your time. And of course, what it means is we're absolutely dependent on God. Because none of us in our own strength. This has to be something God does in us. Just down, Ben. And He's going to have to prepare our hearts. He's looking for a people who actually carry His glory. Which means our heart really have to be renewed, restored, filled with the Holy Spirit. It just takes a few. It just takes a few. And when I was with Heidi in Mozambique, the Lord told her, He says He's going to give her the nation of Mozambique. He's giving away nations. And when she says, when He asks for the love of God, ask for enough for your city. And so He's already given her Mozambique. He says, I've got another nation for you too. He said, we have a big God. It's not going to be the masses, it's going to be the few who say yes to God. So would you like to receive the baton?
Yes.
So thank you. So just receive this. Maybe someone stuck behind just in case. Or place yourself, or place a complete dependence on you. Thank you. We'd love to carry your glory in this nation. May your kingdom come, may your will be done in England, even as it is in heaven. Whoa.